The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a nutritious smoothie of creamy, fresh yogurt, vanilla protein powder, and a mushy banana for your mind. Drink it all down. It's nummy. I want vanilla. I want vanilla. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I will be playing the role of Eric Metaxas, and I have these guests that I talk to today. I talked to an old friend. It's amazing how many years it's been. Alex McFarland, welcome to the studio.
Eric, it's a great thrill. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. Now, you're tough to sum up, but let's put it this way. You've written many books, and you are what's called a Christian apologist. You write about the faith, the reasonableness of the faith. We've talked about this many times over the years on this program. You've had me on your program. What should we talk about today? You brought up a couple of things that were enticing to me. So I don't know. First of all, people can find you at alexmcfarland.com. What could be simpler? Alexmcfarland.com. Well, what is your most recent book?
Most recently, about 6 months ago, we did a book called 100 Bible Questions and Answers, published by Broad Street. We do a radio show, and these are 100 actual questions from actual radio listeners. But, hey, before we dive too deeply into the conversation, I just want to say how much I appreciate you. And I know I speak for millions of people throughout the world. That we are so indebted that God raised up a voice of truth and reason named Eric Metaxas. And just to be with you in your studio, it's a great honor. Appreciate you. Godspeed in all things, my friend.
There's no response I could possibly have to that except thank you, Jesus, for fooling my friend Alex into thinking I have that kind of influence. Because, no, that's so sweet. God bless you for saying that. You and I are... we're engaged in similar pursuits, and we've had encounters over the years. We're living in a weird world where many people seem to think it's logical not to believe in the God of the Bible. And you and I know they happen to be wrong, and we try to help them to understand that.
It's reasonable.
Well, I mean, it's at least reasonable. It's, it's really like saying, like, is the earth flat? Yes or no? And you say, well, look, we can talk about it, but I'm just going to warn you that it's not flat. So it's kind of but I think what's important, when we're talking about these things is to let people know it's joyful and beautiful, too. It's not just true. It's joyful and beautiful. And we need to not neglect to say that.
Yeah, it is. The gospel that God exists, God has revealed himself to humanity most vividly in the person of Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead. And Jesus says, by putting our faith in him, we will have everlasting life. Those are the propositional claims of Christianity. And not only is it true, it's thrilling. It is beautiful. And knowing the true and living God is an adventure, isn't it? Eric, I was speaking at a youth event not too long ago, and some kids came up to me and they said, oh, you need to meet this guy. He's like the most hardcore atheist at our high school. Like, he can shut anybody down. And I've sat down with a lot of atheists over the years, people like Christopher Hitchens, who I knew fairly well, and Michael Shermer, many other atheists, even had a brief email exchange with Richard Dawkins. And I found, Eric, that so many atheists, the root of their skepticism started with some sort of pain or disappointment. And it's almost like there's pain, there's suffering, therefore I'm going to rule God out of the equation. So like this high schooler, and I could give you so many hundreds of little vignettes, but he said, I'd like to be a Christian, but I'm afraid it would be boring. And I said, well, you know, being a Christian is a lot of things, but it is not dull. And as look how well you would know. I mean, if you really put your hand in the hand of God and allow the Lord to lead your life, you've just embarked on the greatest, most thrilling adventure imaginable.
In fact, he created you for that adventure. Like, it's actually the whole point of your existence. And it is certainly an adventure. If it's not an adventure, you're not doing it.
Exactly, exactly. But do you know, one of the most compelling reasons, I believe, to believe in God is the ubiquity of moral knowledge. Everybody knows right from wrong.
Okay, now, C.S. Lewis, of course, writes about this famously, the Tao.
Yes.
Which book does he? I can't remember which book is. Maybe it's Mere Christianity.
Well, Lewis wrote about it mostly in The Abolition of Man, which came out in 1943. And other people have written about it. Jay Budziszewski from UT Austin. This is a great book title. If there were a Hall of Fame for book titles, What You Can't Not Know. That's a great book title by Jay Budziszewski.
Yeah.
That all cultures at all times in all places have this awareness of right and wrong. And you don't really have to even teach it to children. We know it's wrong to tell a lie. We know it's wrong to steal or murder or slander. Now, we don't always do what's right, but deep in our soul, we know what's right. And Lewis documents all of these cultures, ancient and modern. Marvin Alasky of World Magazine has written about it too. Eric, I would submit to you, and you and I had a conversation about this maybe like a year ago, when a culture drifts away from moral boundaries and even moral knowledge, and not only drifts away, but in fact actively suppresses and does its utmost to systemically see that people do not believe in moral truth, that culture is in a very dark and dangerous place. In the 20th century, it would be Germany. I fear that in the 21st century, it would be the United States of America.
Oh, listen, I mean, I will give you, before you leave our studios, we'll give you a lovely parting gift. Some Eskimo pies, some turtle wax, and a copy of my most recent book, which is called Letter to the American Church, because that's basically the case that I make, is that exactly what happened in Germany in the 30s is happening now. It is very dramatically clear. I wish it weren't. I wish I were being hyperbolical, but I have to say I know too much to pretend that I'm being hyperbolical. I know that it's true. But what's interesting, Alex, is that Germany in the early 30s, just like the United States now, it was a very sophisticated culture. This was not some, you know, group of barbarians. This was a very sophisticated culture with a lot of Christianity to go around. In other
sure.
words, this was not. Let me frame it this way. I think that's part of what explains how they could go so wrong and how we could go so wrong, because at some point you begin to take these things for granted. You've had them around so long, you are uniquely predisposed to take them for granted.
It's contempt for the familiar.
Yeah.
Now, show me where God does great work, and I'll show you where Satan will come in eventually and launch a counteroffensive. In 1517, Martin Luther, October 31, the door at Wittenberg, the 95 Theses, the Reformation exploded, the gospel spread throughout Europe. 200-plus years later, 1790, Friedrich Schleiermacher, he's very often called the father of German liberalism, said he was basically a pantheist, really, Schleiermacher was. And I guess if my name was Schleiermacher, I'd be mad at the world, you know, but he was like, wanted to kind of deconstruct Christianity. And he really undermined belief in the Bible. And this impacted some people, and I'm generalizing to cover a lot of historical ground quickly. George Lyell was called the father of uniformitarianism, influenced Charles Darwin. All right, look at this progression. We've gone from the Reformation to higher criticism. The Bible is not the Word of God. Darwin, and the naturalist of the 19th century said God is not really the creator. I'm looking at America 244 years ago, our nation was birthed. If the history of other nations is any predictor, about 2 to 2.5 centuries is where the fires of God's work ebb away and the door opens for Satan's counteroffensive. And I would say with our abandonment of moral truth, the breakdown of the family, no legal protection for the unborn, now the redefinition of even gender and humanity, we are ripe into the vacuum created by the absence of reason and revelation. Into that vacuum will come, if there's not a resurgence of the gospel, basically a very dark and very murderous police state.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This year, this new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/Eric, or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code ERIC. Folks, I'm talking to my friend Alex McFarland, who has written many books, and we've talked about them, but reprise what you just said at the end of that segment to kind of tee up our talking about it, because it's a very dramatic and yet, unfortunately, I think, true statement.
Well, Eric, thanks for having me on. The future of the West and our homeland, America, is being fought over by two juggernauts, really the iron fist of terrorism or the iron fist of statism. And there is one force and one force alone sufficient to hold at bay these forces of Marxism, a police state, rights for no one but the state, or terrorism, and we become just this dystopia. ISIS, whomever. The one force that can really preserve order is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I tell my atheist friends, and I have many, I say, look, all of you atheists, you want to be an atheist? Go for it. But you really have a vested interest in the preservation of Christianity, because the things that we all love and take for granted, liberty, prosperity, stability, those are three great things in a culture. Freedom, prosperity, stability, those are the byproducts of Christianity in a culture.
Well, a lot of people don't know that. And believe me, I do know it, and it's true. But most people don't know that, and we haven't taught that. In other words, if you care about, you know, let's say you're an atheist and you say, I want to live in a place where it's okay for me to be an atheist, the most Christian nation in the world will allow you that freedom.
Right.
And that's the irony. They act as though, no, you want to create a theocracy. And it's like, well, no, there have been such things as theocracies. But true Christians understand that there has to be liberty.
Yeah.
But again, we have really been so blessed for so long, particularly in this country, that we most people don't make that connection, don't understand that all these things that we think are good came out of a vision at which a biblical view of things was at the center.
Yeah, yeah. I often say when I'm in front of college students that, look, if you don't want to be a Christian, you don't have to be a Christian. If you don't want to believe in God, you don't have to believe in God. You can be an atheist, Wiccan, lesbian. Knock yourself out. But what we can't let you do, or at least we shouldn't let you do, is destroy the context that gives you the freedom to safely, prosperously walk around as a non-believer. If you want what we've had, which is liberty, prosperity, stability, you have to tolerate what gave us those things. And what gave us those things is what the twice Pulitzer-nominated historian Rodney Stark would say, the iron Protestant work ethic. That's what gave us. In fact, JFK in his 1961 inaugural speech, January of 61, John F. Kennedy said, the rights of man come not from the state, but from the hand of God. The role of government is not to give you rights, but to guard the rights that you inherently have from the hand of God. JFK said that.
Well, yes, that was back in the day when there were Democrats who believed crazy things like that. We don't have too many of those left. It's interesting because we all as a nation understood those things, the left and the right. And I think part of what makes these times so bleak is that the left has drifted. I mean, the whole culture has drifted, but the left in particular has drifted to a Marxist atheist worldview that abrogates all of these things, which is itself astonishing that in America we could have such a level of prosperity that many people could believe we don't need any of that stuff. All that stuff that we all agreed on, we don't need that anymore. We can invent our new reality and we'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, Michael Bleckman was one of the campaign managers for Robert F. Kennedy in 68. He had a great article in the Wall Street Journal. I think it was like October of 2019. And Bleckman basically said, my two former bosses, JFK and RFK, neither could be a Democrat today. Because Biden in January of 19 said, and I quote, there is no place in the Democrat Party for someone who is not pro-choice. Bleckman, and by the way, he said, lest you think I'm some closet right-winger, some, you know, Trojan horse conservative, he said, I'm a lifelong Jew. He said, as to the existence of God, I'm not even sure. I'm respectfully agnostic, he says in this very well-written article. But he said, basically, look, the Kennedys, you know, they were traditional marriage, definitely pro-life. So according to the current definition, they couldn't have been Democrats. Now, here's my point. I don't mean to make this conversation just about left and right, but the left cannot win on the strength of their ideas, and they certainly can't win on the strength of their results. I mean, look at the train wreck that is the border crisis right now in Texas and Nevada and Arizona. Look at the train wreck that is the economy and education. So what I believe, Eric, is that the left is trying to win by blunt brute force because their ideas are vacuous.
Well, no, that's what's happened, of course. In other words, you get to a point, if you realize you're losing the conversation, you think, well, all I can do now to win is to shut down the conversation, because if we keep going, it will be shown clearly that I got nothing. So I'm going to now call you names. You're a racist or a transphobe or you're whatever I need to do to shut things down and to demonize you personally, because I don't have a leg to stand on in terms of the actual argument. And that's, of course, what one sees in totalitarian cultures. They are not pretending to stand for the truth. They are all in about for winning.
Win at any scorched earth mentality.
Yeah.
I will win at any cost. Now, some good news. And by the way, this is just such a blessing to have a conversation with you. Young people are hungry for truth. I just came from a four-day youth retreat in front of 183 teens and 40 adults in Western North Carolina. It was a winter Christian retreat. Eric, what is so cool, the good news that I think is hopeful, every day, literally 7 days a week, I and my staff that I never planned to build an organization, but when you get a couple hundred emails a day, you've got to start hiring people. Kids are so receptive to not only biblical truth, but truth about America. And I'm in front of middle school and high school and college kids that are so enthused about the Lord Jesus, so enthused about the United States of America. And I want to say to people, yeah, we need to have honest, hard conversations about the ideological battles that we're in the crosshairs of, and we certainly are. But let me say to moms and dads, you have more sway and say into the heart of your child than you realize. Let me say to pastors and youth pastors, I beg of you, please give your parishioners, especially young people, truth about morality, culture, politics, America. Because, see, Eric, pastors, and I've pastored two churches. I understand the fine line of diplomacy pastors think they have to walk. Pastored a mega church in Charlotte, pastored a small church in rural North Carolina. But listen to this. Augustine, in City of God, he said, look, until we're in the city of God, we have an obligation to the city of man. See, pastors, they're like very pious. They're like, oh, Alex, I hear you on the radio and come to my church, but don't talk about politics, just the love of God.
Listen, you have no idea, because you haven't read my book, Letter to the American Church, I am singing this song wherever I go. What you are talking about right now, first of all, this is called reality and truth.
Yeah, come on.
The idea that you could be so spiritual as to avoid politics. What about abortion? What about slavery?
Yeah.
What about Nazis killing Jews? Can I avoid politics? Like how my faith compels me to speak on those issues, at least on those issues, on the issue of whether there's something beyond male and female. These are fundamental issues. But when people, they squirm because they say, well, I don't want to go there. I want to talk about what is safe.
Yeah.
Well, if you're
talking
about what is safe, you're probably talking about nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. And, the history has been written by Christians who were willing to get out of their comfort zone. And also, I want to challenge everybody, and I'm challenging myself here. Eric, I'm preaching at Alex McFarland, because I'm like basically lazy, you know. But when I was in college, I became a Christian and discovered Josh McDowell books. And by reading the footnotes, I discovered Norm Geisler and G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis and Francis Schaeffer and Chuck Colson. And thus, a trajectory was set. But let me say, we need to attend to the life of the mind.
Oh.
See.
Absolutely. We're going to a break. Folks, I'm talking to Alex McFarland, MCF, alexmcfarland.com. Lots of books, lots of resources. We'll be right back. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start
discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to Alex McFarland about everything. Alex, we're talking about everything. And you said people need to attend to the life of the mind. I mean, I think it was something that we did in this culture for, you know, most of our history. People had to understand the basics of how things work. What is liberty? What is right and wrong? How do you get right and wrong? And how do you... you were talking earlier about, you know, what Lewis, C.S. Lewis calls the Tao,
yes.
This inherent sense that every human being has, this conscience of between right and wrong. We all know it. You don't need to be a baptized Christian to know that stealing and murder are wrong. And it brings us maybe to the subject of natural law. Mm-hmm. The genius legal scholar Hadley Arkus has written a book coming out in a few months called Mere Natural Law, that, you know, the God's law, right and wrong, is at the basis of everything. You cannot have a constitution unless you understand these things that precede whatever's written in the constitution.
Do you know Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. predicated the entire validity of the civil rights movement on natural law? If you read his 1963 Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Why We Can't Wait, brilliant book, by the way, and he quotes Augustine, Aquinas, in Letter from the Birmingham Jail. He basically appeals to natural law that we're all human beings. Regardless of our ethnicity, we're humans. And if one human has natural rights, all humans have natural rights. Now, Jefferson, too, when he used the words in the Declaration, we owe these truths to be self-evident, that all are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's natural law. And the founders predicated the validity of the American Revolution on natural law because, you know, Jefferson wrote about the abuses and usurpations, you know, all these Quartering Act and Port Act and Stamp Act and all these things. And when Jefferson wrote... And this is where we Christians and pastors, I'm talking to you, this is where we've got to decide if we're going to play it safe or play it obediently. Jefferson said, appealing to God for the rectitude of our intentions. What that means is, King of England, you've abused, you've done so many things. If we don't act, we are complicit with you. Therefore, mindful of our accountability to God, we have to do this, and we dissolve the bands that have held our countries together. Now, here's the thing. If there is no natural law, then Jefferson was wrong. Dr. King was wrong. Now, if there is natural law, and I think it's in fact, Eric, as much as I love, like, the cosmological argument and arguments from design, even like information theory. I know you've probably interviewed Bill Dembski, haven't you?
William? Actually, he's one of the few of that band that I have not, no.
Yeah, brilliant guy. There are so many compelling arguments for God and the Bible and Jesus, but I really think the moral argument might be the most compelling because it is universally undeniable that people have this moral compass. And it looks just like Exodus 20, 1 through 17, a.k.a. the Ten Commandments. Now, if we all, independently of each other, have this moral compass, this ethical code graven into our psyche, it must have come from an outside source. The law came from a lawgiver. And the life's most thrilling and most rewarding quest is to discover who that lawgiver was.
Well, you know, when you bring up natural law and you mention Jefferson and MLK, I think of in the book that Hadley Arkus, I always forget how to – is it Arks or Arkus? I think – you know, when I know somebody, I just say, hey, Hadley, so I don't have to – but the book that he's written called Mere Natural Law, he talks a lot in the beginning about Lincoln and what a firm grasp Lincoln had of this and how he demolished Stephen Douglas in the debate on this issue. You know, either something's either right – or wrong, and Douglas is trying to have it both ways, and Lincoln makes mincemeat out of him, and which further reminds me that we used to we used to in America all kind of be aware of the Lincoln-Douglas debates, like that was taught in schools, and a lot of these things that we used to know, they've just drifted away, and they've been replaced with I don't know what.
Yeah.
But unless we recover these things, we will be in increasing trouble. We're already, you know, right at the lip of the volcano.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, we had civics growing up. Civics. And this is very important. And so I want to say to everybody listening, you can play a role in making a difference, really. Not everybody's going to be a preacher in a pulpit. Not everybody can be Eric Metaxas. But everybody listening, wherever you are, you can be an influence on your neighbor. You can run for school board. You can run for city council. As you know, and this is not original with me, but there are basically eight engines that drive the culture: the home, the church, the classroom, the media, the marketplace, the judiciary, the arts, the sciences. Okay, the home, that's family. We all have a stake in that. Church or synagogue or religion, we all know what that is. Then there's education, that's the classroom. There's media, there's journalism, there's the marketplace, and of course there are 10 million permutations of business and marketplace. Then there's law and politics, the judiciary, there are the arts, there are the sciences. Everybody listening has a role in one or more of those arenas. And what our challenge is to young people, and Eric, they get so excited, I'm saying, look, job one in life, open your heart to Christ, establish a relationship with the Lord. That's the most important thing. Then I would say be a champion for family. But then,
actually, I want to. We've got another segment coming up, and we are going to let Alex complete some of these thoughts when we return.
If not for you.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
I'm talking to Alex McFarland. Alex, you were just going through the list of, you know, and again, I talk about this wherever I go. We're supposed to live out our faith in every sphere. And there are, you mentioned seven. We're supposed to live out our faith in every one of those spheres. Our faith is not some theologically circumscribed corner
in a silo.
It's meant to go out into every other sphere. We're meant to live it out. So you were talking, you began to talk about the first family.
Yeah, family, church, education, business or marketplace, media, journalism, the judiciary, law, politics. And under that heading, I would also include civic involvement, community involvement. Even if you're not going to run for office, attend a school board meeting. It will be an eye-opener, I assure you. And then there are the arts and the sciences. And I tell young people, what a beautiful thing to, number one, have a relationship with God, but then take your biblical worldview with you, whatever degree you pursue, whatever career path you find yourself on. Eric, we can do this. Look, Barna says that there are 100 million adult evangelical Christians. That's a third of the country, almost. And I'm passionate about America. I've traveled all over the world, five continents. Look, I know this is still the best place in the world. Opportunity. The chance. Eric, you're looking at a guy that I come from a family of chicken farmers. And 25 years ago, my wife and I had $58 and the shirt on our back. She finished nursing school. I finished two grad degrees at Liberty. We work like the Dickens to pay off the tuition. My wife and I give God all the glory. 25 years ago, I had the Lord Jesus, my spouse, and $58. Seriously. In a quarter century, you can tell I haven't missed any meals, but we've been around the world, and we've seen God do things in and through our life. I'm telling kids, and kids want this message of hope. If you're willing to say your prayers, work hard, and live right, you'll go somewhere. And America offers you that. You're not going to do
well,
this.
Well, again, if you've come from another part of the world, like my mom and dad did, you get that. You get that what we have here is not normal. What we have here is an insane blessing and a gift, and you better be aware of how rare and beautiful it is and take advantage of it and know that God calls us to share this gift with the rest of the world. What we want the whole world to have what we've had in America, except we in America have ourselves been losing it, which is another thing I talk about wherever I go, that we have to appreciate what it means to keep the republic.
Yes.
And what you just said, you know, basically, if we don't participate in civics and teaching these things to the next generation, if we don't participate in local government or get to give back in some way, it goes away. If you want people to run things for you, they will, but it's not going to look like what it used to look like.
In America, we have a sacred gift, and it's called opportunity. You know, God just doesn't dump success or even salvation right in your lap. We've got to put some skin in the game. God offers the right path, but he doesn't force it. A big part of our culture, I mean, obviously, as a Christian, I want people to know Christ. But as a citizen, I've got a vested interest in people acknowledging moral boundaries. And the X factor, the secret sauce of America was that we were built, the founders intentionally wove into our government and our DNA the Judeo-Christian moral code, also known as natural law. Now, and this could be a whole nother show, at this juncture in the conversation, somebody will say, oh, but this violates the First Amendment. I've asked this question at 200 universities. I'll say, okay, don't Google it. Who wrote the First Amendment? Nobody ever knows. It was a man named Fisher Ames, A-M-E-S. He was a Christian. Fisher Ames wanted the Bible and the Isaac Watts hymnal taught in public schools because he said the King James Bible is the best vehicle for teaching morals to young people. And Fisher, I asked this question. I'm like, how is it that 21st century leftists seem to know more about the application of the First Amendment than the man that wrote the First Amendment? I'm like, if the man that wrote the First Amendment didn't think it was a violation to teach biblical morality to young people, you see what I'm saying? And we Christians, we're sitting here with our mouths closed. Folks, let's get into what Adams called the spirited contest of liberty.
Well, that's, again, you know, one of the reasons we're friends is like we care about these things and we see these things and we see that if we do not pass them on, we're going to lose. Not it's not just that we are going to lose it. Everyone is going to lose it. Every atheist, every person in this country is going to lose these things. And people around the world are going to suffer. If America is not strong and doesn't hold up the torch of liberty, the whole world suffers. Who's going to speak out for the Uyghur Muslims that are being murdered by the Chinese? Who's going to speak out? You know, that's the point. This is not about us. God has charged us to speak the truth for his purposes around the world. And you know and I know that that's happened less and less. And the question is whether we can recover it.
I know. But with 345,000 churches, 500,000 ordained clergy, and 100 million Christians, not to mention good people that they love this country and they get what we're about, we can make a difference. And I'm so thankful your books are equipping people to...
I sure hope so. I mean, that's kind of the idea, right? Why we do what we do, it's not... For us, this is not to sell books. This is that we know that God has allowed us to see some things, and we have a zealous desire to help others to see the same thing because it's beautiful, and it's true, and it's hopeful. It's wonderful.
Exactly. It is. And, 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter about the resurrection, which if Christ rose, then God exists. I mean, if Christ rose, and it's compelling that he did, Christianity is established. But Paul concludes that chapter, and he says, be steadfast, immovable, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's why I would say to everyone that might potentially hear this podcast, your prayers matter, your example matters, your influence matters, and the dear Lord has promised us when we're in the cause of truth, our labor is not in vain, Eric.
Hey, that is a nice place to end this. AlexMcFarland.com is the website. Alex McFarland, thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Eric.
Before I forget, I got to say this. To be perfectly honest, I'm in California right now.
I know.
And last night, I did an event with Dennis Prager. It's Ask a Jew, Ask a Gentile. I'm relegated to the role of just, I'm just a Gentile, just a non-Jew. And tomorrow, we have some time. I want to... explain what happened last night because I have so much fun with him. So many people were there, friends in Pasadena, which is where I am recording this from. But I want to talk about that tomorrow. Right now, speaking of Ask a Jew, Ask a Gentile, I've been hanging out with my friend Greg Denham. Denham, it's spelled D-E-N-H-A-M. And he goes to Israel literally every year.
Yeah.
And he's been educating me. He's a pastor here in California, San Marcos, Arise Church. And we've become friends. And he keeps talking about how Constantine, Emperor Constantine in the fourth century, really ripped the Christian faith out of its Jewish roots. And the more he talks to me about this, the more I almost can't believe, this keeps happening to me, where you find out something and you almost can't believe it. It's so insane that this happened. And people can find out more by going to thecontextmovement.com. That's his website, Greg Denham, D-E-N-H-A-M, thecontextmovement.com. But it's really dramatic, really dramatic. I've just been thinking about this a lot, maybe because I'm hanging out with Dennis Prager and Naomi Wolf and a lot of Jewish friends. And Greg Denham really gets this. And it's important. I'll be talking about this more in the weeks ahead. But suffice it to say, Jesus was Jewish. Did I shock anybody there? It is so astonishing, this connection between the Jewish faith and the Christian faith. I mean, it's even that's putting it too mildly. Now, by the way, one of our new sponsors on this program, I guess this is a good time to mention it, is the
Israel Ministry of Tourism, which encourages people to visit Israel. I will be visiting Israel maybe this year with Greg Denham. I will almost certainly be going at the end of next year, 2024. But when I went there, and my trip there was, it was brief, but it is hard to put into words how it changes your perspective of what you thought you knew, because it's very, it's hard for us not to mythologize what the scriptures say, to kind of act like it existed at some time in some place in fairyland, and I believe it, but when you actually go there to Israel, so the you can go to the website holyland.israel.travel, and I want to recommend again Greg Denham's website. This, we're going to be talking about this a lot in the weeks ahead. thecontextmovement.com, just huge. I mean, this is earth-shattering stuff. I don't use the phrase earth-shattering lightly. And what Greg Denham's talking about is similar to what Jeannie Constantino does in her book, The Crucifixion of the King of Glory. If you haven't signed up for the Socrates in the City event, it is a week away. And I promise you, it's going to be very special. Some of you can go. Some of you, if you want to, can stream it live, which frightens me that you'll be wherever you are streaming it live. And I want to say you can go to SocratesInTheCity.com, sign up for that. In any event, SocratesInTheCity.com, you really don't want to miss this, whether you stream it or whether you show up in person, but you should show up in person because I think you'll be blown away. Enough said. We'll talk to you tomorrow, which as far as I'm concerned, we'll call Wednesday. Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.